This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. As U.S. Marines arrived into Crete, parts of the U.S. Army's 4th Infantry Division rolled across the Kuwaiti border. The 1st Infantry Division began to transfer its equipment from Germany to the Persian Gulf, and 3 U.S. aircraft carrier groups are already on their way to their home ports, or will be by the end of this week. With the work of war nearly complete, many of the British and American troops in Iraq can turn to security issues, and both military and civilian humanitarian efforts can truly get underway. This hour will bring you an update on the humanitarian goals and the participants in the region. The military has its own plans. There are also many private and governmental agencies. We'll talk about how all that work is coordinated or not, and about ways for Americans to help. But first, let's get the latest on the situation in Tikrit, Saddam Hussein's ancestral home. Joining us now is Mike Collett-White, a reporter for Reuters News Service. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
You were in Tikrit earlier today. Can you tell us what you saw there?
Sure, yeah. We arrived from the northeast just after lunch. There was a very badly damaged bridge with 2 huge holes blown out of it, and we had to sort of skirt around the edge of the bridge to get around them. And there in front of us were several APCs from the American Army, the 1st Division. 1st Marine Division. They were sort of basically just checking our cars, and then we rolled into the U.S. military present. No sign of fighting on the streets. A very empty town, almost eerily quiet, really. Really what we saw were helicopters flying low over some areas, firing at what they thought were Fedayeen fighters who had remained in the town. We heard bombers overhead. We saw a few explosions, heard a few more explosions, but on the whole, it looks as if it's under the U.S. control.
There were reports that some of the people who did put up a fight in Tikrit were not Iraqi, but rather Syrian.
That's right. I mean, basically, the Fedayeen, the Americans suspect that the Fedayeen fighters there include a lot of non-Iraqi people, including Arabs. I spoke to a captain from the Marines who told me about an interesting incident last night when his position came under heavy fire from AK-47 rifles, the assault rifle of choice out here. And they managed to kill one of the guys who was coming towards them with a gun, with an AK-47. They shot him dead, and then later the checks showed that he was actually a Syrian and had grenades wrapped around his waist in an apparent attempt at a suicide attack on that position.
There was also the interesting, political tidbit. The statues and portraits of Saddam Hussein, ubiquitous throughout Iraq, were in relatively good shape in Tikrit.
They were. There was a marked difference between the mood and the look of Tikrit and that of, let's say, Kirkuk further north, which the Kurds marauded, basically. They veered into the town as soon as the Iraqis left Kirkuk and obviously vandalized and damaged all of the Saddam portraits because they've hated him for many years. In Tikrit, it was completely different. Outside all the official buildings, there is a sort of mosaic portraits or tile portraits of the president, all completely untouched. Some large statues of him, one of them on horseback, again completely unruined. So a very different kind of atmosphere and look.
We had read reports that as much as a brigade of Republican Guards might be in Tikrit, as well as some of these paramilitary fighters in the Fedayeen that you mentioned. What happened to them? What did the people say? Where did they go?
That's a good question, and no one really knows at this stage. I mean, the soldiers we were talking to basically were very surprised at how little resistance there was, in them taking Tikrit. They expect from now on hit-and-run guerrilla tactics by Fedayeen hardliners, but what happened to the bulk of the Republican Guards, which, as you say, was expected to number in the high thousands, no one really knows. I mean, some of them may well be sitting in their homes. Some may well be wearing civilian clothes and sort of blending into the general population, and others may have fled to other countries or perhaps to surrounding villages, but really no one knows.
How did the local people there respond to the arrival of American troops?
There weren't that many around, as I say. I mean, we saw, perhaps during the whole day today, we saw literally maybe 200 civilians. On the whole, the reaction was fairly friendly, people sort of putting thumbs up and waving as they have done across Iraq. You know, we talked to people outside a tea shop, which was opening, although most shops were still shut, but there was a tea shop open. We spoke to some people outside there who basically said, you know, we're just relieved it's all over. You know, the guy that we spoke to said he had no time for Saddam, who is a dictator. Now, whether he's saying that to us because we're with American troops or not, I don't know. But I think people are very relieved. But I get the feeling that a lot of people have left this town, and many of those may well have been, you know, hardline Saddam supporters from the Ba'ath Party and Republican Guard.
There is another of Saddam's vast palaces in Tikrit. Did you get a chance to look at it?
Yeah, it was quite extraordinary. I mean, we went through the huge gates, which sort of are similar to the Brandenburg gates in scale. They're absolutely huge with statues on either side. And we sort of walked down a very long, straight road leading to the main palace, and there were Marines lined up on either side. This is obviously one of their main bases. Went into the palace itself, which is a huge, vast sandstone and marble building, very ornate, and really we could, some rooms you could hardly walk around because they're just reduced to complete rubble. There's dust and dirt everywhere. I mean, it's many places are unrecognizable because it's been hit very heavily by, you know, U.S. air attacks over the last few days, I believe. Behind the palace itself is an enormous complex of different buildings, residential, I wouldn't say palaces, I would say mansions, perhaps. And all of this in a stunning setting on the banks of the Tigris River. With palm trees and rose gardens. I mean, it really was quite extraordinary. And what was also interesting was that locals who perhaps had never seen this, you know, with their own eyes, were beginning, when we left, were beginning to come into the complex to loot the houses and take away furniture and electrical goods. And it was an extraordinary scene.
Mike Collard-White, thank you very much. Mike Collard-White is a reporter for Reuters News Service, and he was speaking with us from Sulaymaniyah in northern Iraq about his visit earlier in the day to Tikrit.